Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, recently, Asia's largest online property portal group, Property Guru, held a virtual panel discussion with experts in the field to look back at the Singapore property market in 2020 and to discuss what its outlook for 2021 might be. In Powering Your Property today, we bring you highlights from the discussion, which features Dr. Tan Tee Koon, Singapore Country Manager, Property Guru, Paul Wee, Managing Director, FinTech Property Guru Group, Dr. Lee Nai Jia, Deputy Director, Institute of Real Estate and Urban Studies at NUS, and Thomas Tan, President, Singapore Estate Agents Association. Of course, the pandemic impacted the sector as it did for all sectors in 2020, and according to Dr. Lee Nai Jia from NUS, none more so than foreign buyer demand, thanks to travel restrictions imposed.
If you look at the statistics, yes, we see some foreign buyers, but most of those are Singapore PRs. But if we talk about the foreign buyers who are staying in other countries coming to Singapore to buy, of course, that has come down quite significantly due to the travel restrictions. But from my sensing and talks with the ground, it seems like we may see them coming in when these travel restrictions are lifted, especially from the region, because I think many view Singapore as a quite a safe place, got world-class healthcare systems. So I think that generally will appeal to them. So we expect more foreign buyers to come once the restrictions are being lifted or partially lifted.
But Dr. Tan Tee Koon from Property Guru also points out that certain types of foreigners and buyers did keep demand buoyant.
We also observe some ultra high net worth individuals investing in Singapore. And of course, we know of the slew of Chinese companies coming to Singapore, Tencent, ByteDance, Alibaba, talking about investment plans. At the same time, the most notable that we can remember is James Dyson. He came and he bought two luxurious properties. Of course, we recently learned that he sold one. But at the end of the day, we realized that there is really nothing in the way of these foreign investors coming to Singapore. Virtual viewings are now a norm. Many of them who are buying for investment, they are acquainted with Singapore, the sound fundamentals, policy transparency, safety and political stability. So nothing stops them except maybe for some of them, the consideration is the additional buyer stamp duty. And if they are looking at landed stock, they would probably require permission if they wish to buy landed properties. Yep.
Paul Wee is Property Guru Group's Director of FinTech, and he attributes this to timing and is optimistic about returning to pre-pandemic demand levels.
Okay. I think in terms of foreign demand, we have to look at the timing, right? A lot of foreigners are still liking the Singapore system, how we handled the pandemic and how the reactions, and they see the type of reactions the government has been taking. They say we like to go into that market for safety. I think that's the conversations that we've been drawing from foreign buyers. Over the longer term, certainly buying levels will come back up to previous levels as well. Okay.
And Thomas Tan, the president of the Singapore Estate Agents Association, sums it up.
So I guess the general feel is that once the travel restrictions are lifted, I don't think it's just benefiting the property market. I think it will benefit all sectors, including tourism, as well as our various other industry that depends on quite a fair bit. And if foreign interest continue to be at its current level, many sectors are suffering, could have taken a hit, especially with lesser expatriates in Singapore, right?
But will the eventual lifting of travel restrictions have the desired positive impact on this sector? And barring travel restrictions, what will 2021 look like for foreign buyer demand for Singapore property? Thomas Tan feels Singapore's sound fundamentals will have a lot to do with it.
For the Singapore property market, I guess the fundamentals are quite pretty strong. We've got strong, transparent government. The handling of the pandemic has been exemplary, if you like, from the perspective of the foreign interests. My personal experience dealing with our industry players is the foreigners will continue to like Singapore property because every time there's, I would use the word bad news, okay, whether it's a pandemic or whether it downturn in terms of the economic performance in certain in their respective countries, some of these investors, whether they are high net worth client or high net worth or ultra high net worth client, they tend to have this feeling of flight to safety. So Singapore becomes the safety country. So they put their capital because we, over the years, you look at our Singapore property market's performance, I think it has held its ground pretty well. It's either holding, if not, it's rising. So it has been proven for decades that Singapore is a good safety place for capital preservations. That's one of the reasons why the foreign interests continue to be high in Singapore.
I think it should be strong, especially if you look at some of the countries, especially our regional countries, probably still having, you know, waves of infection. So probably there are still people that are really want to come to Singapore, and this flight to safety is very real. So I would think the demand will be sustained at least for next year.
That was Dr. Lee Naitia from NUS. Dr. Tan Tee Koon from Property Guru also feels that demand for foreign property will also increase.
One of the findings we had in our consumer sentiment survey second half of 2020 revealed that 2 in 5 Singaporeans still plan to purchase property overseas within the next few years. So overseas property investment has, in a sense, been a draw for Singaporeans, as property prices can be attractive outside of Singapore, and this could be used to fund their retirement.
You're listening to Powering Your Property on Money FM 89.3, excerpts from a virtual summit recently held by Property Guru with their panel of experts. Now, of course, the biggest factor to impact Singapore's property market this year is the pandemic, and its reach has been far and wide, like on developers and the construction sector in terms of the ensuing delay of delivery. Here's Dr. Tan Tee Koon from Property Guru with his thoughts.
For developers, we see a deferral of their launches. Some would have intended to launch in the second quarter of this year, but the circuit breaker period came in and they were compelled to defer their launches. Construction of show flats for those who are yet ready to launch were also delayed. Though developer sales during this period plummeted, virtual viewings and webinars soon became the norm. These were viable alternatives to reach out to prospective buyers. So at the same time, there was a slew of announcements. Like, the government committed $100 billion of her coffers to the COVID response, shoring up both confidence and businesses. And then the MAS allowed mortgage loan deferments. And of course, bank loan interest rates dived to an all-time low of 1.3 to 1.5%. Developers were also given a reprieve in their project completion time. The extension of the commencement and completion of residential projects in relation to the remission of ABSD, and also an extension for them for projects which are under the qualifying certificate regime, especially for foreign housing developers. So in the last 9 months, government interventions have been the cornerstone of the pandemic aid that has been rolled out and bolstering the economy, which could otherwise be really painful. Now, all these mitigated an otherwise lackluster property market. So prices have been stable. And of course, the take-up rate, particularly in the third quarter of 2020, reflected the pent-up demand arising from the circuit breaker period in the second quarter. Now, of course, there is an impact in the completions of condos. I recall about 30 condominiums are due to complete this year and next. It will likely be delayed for between 6 months to a year. What that means for those who are waiting to move into their new homes, they have to wait longer, definitely make plans for alternative accommodation, including leasing arrangements if they have no other means of alternative accommodation at this moment. Investors hoping to monetize their property purchase for rental yield would have to wait longer as well before they can play landlord.
With pandemic-induced economic downturn, prices and transaction volumes should be moderating. But as it stands, prices have proven resilient and volume transactions relatively healthy. Why? And can these factors be seen in other countries? Dr. Li Naijia from NUS seems to think they can.
If we think of the whole situation from an intertemporal way, that means if you look at past crises and how the housing market has been impacted, it tends to be very correlated. So if you look at like in the 2008 crisis, the real estate market crashed. Of course, after that, it rebounded very swiftly together with the economy. Prior is the Asian financial crisis, we see the same thing happened. So in this particular crisis, it's very interesting that what you have pointed out is that some of the foreign markets, like in the likes of China, the things are moving up pretty well. The real estate market is also doing pretty well. The question is why? I think one of the reasons is there's still this flush of cash. And also the second thing is there's this hope that the market will recover. Everybody is quite sure that this pandemic is going to be temporary. It's not going to have a kind of a lasting effect in the market. At least that's what I presume it to be. So that probably plays into the sentiments of the buyers. They feel that, no, this is just a temporal thing. There's no need for us to panic and we should still buy. The other thing I think is very important is that in the previous crisis, we saw that there's a lot of job losses. There's a frozen of job opportunities. But in this pandemic, we see that there's a frozen, of course, of job opportunities, but things start to move back up. Jobs are being preserved one way or the other, in the sense that if the person is retrenched, there are a lot of opportunities. The government provide a lot of grants. They have other job opportunities like the healthcare sector to go to. And then, of course, the wage support schemes help to preserve jobs. And that actually help the people to tide things through. So they are not even to get rid of their properties as soon as possible. So various factors actually add up. We also see that there's a lot of HDB flats that are reaching MOP. So that also formed the basis of the upgrading demand. And so I think everything adds up. And that's why we see that the property market is fairly resilient. Of course, when we compare the real estate market, then usually from the other perspective, from investment perspective, is how it performs against other assets, stocks, all those things. And you realize that actually they are quite resilient in nature. So that also maybe appeal to many buyers and many investors.
Dr. Li Naijia, Deputy Director, Institute of Real Estate and Urban Studies at National University of Singapore. Joining him at Property Guru's virtual summit was also Paul Wee, Managing Director, FinTech Property Guru Group, Thomas Tan, President, Singapore Estate Agents Association, and Dr. Tan Tee Koon, Singapore Country Manager at Property Guru. I'm Howie Lim. This has been Powering Your Property on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.